Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We're your hosts,
Yana
and Kaylee.
Yay.
Hello, we're back again after another long break. We're going to try and stop apologizing about it because it's just life and it is how it is. And Yana was on a different continent for a couple of months and we thought we'd manage to do it, but we just didn't.
Yeah, we didn't. we didn't even call ourselves and had a talk.
We didn't call each other. Yeah. No, we didn't. It just, you know, life, whatever. Here, yeah. We're back and we're excited to get moving on this.
Also, I have to say, it was a little bit loud in my surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
And I only had the microphone from my laptop. And maybe that's not an excuse, but a little bit.
Not so nice for our listeners' ears.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So here we are. And in the meantime, while we've had a bit of a break, we've also got some new comments, which is nice. We got another message from Lara. Hello. Sorry, Lara. I don't know whether you're Lara or Lara. Depends where you're messaging us from, but thanks again. And we have some new people. Stormy commented about a month ago. And Alia, who's also loving the podcast. Thank you. And Lauren. We only have one comment where we're not quite sure what it means. It says, heal ya slay, Katie. That's from Stormy. I'm hoping it's like, hell yeah, you slay, like, cool podcast. But we're not quite sure. But we hope it's something positive. Thank you for the comment anyway.
Thank you. I loved reading them. So at one time I was having a bad moment and then I discovered that we got some comments because you actually have to log in to Spotify, creator, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw the messages and I was really uplifted by your comments. So thank you for that. And then I wrote Kelly some awesome messages, blah, blah, blah.
That was really nice.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you.
It's a big pick-me-up, and it helps to motivate us to continue when we know we're not speaking into
the void.
The void, yeah. Okay, so we're on book 6 stars, and today we're going to talk about chapters 5 and 6, Moonless Night and A Moment of Truth. So I'll read the very extremely short synopses, and then we'll get into it. Okay, chapter 5, Moonless Night. To prove themselves as the Chosen Two, Rayla and Callum set out to end the storms swirling around the Starscraper. Viren tries to right his past wrongs. In Chapter 6, Moment of Truth, memories of Sorin's childhood weigh heavily on Viren. Cosmo uses his new powers to help Callum see his true self clearly.
Da-dum-dum.
Da-dum. Okay, let's start with Chapter 5.
Yes.
Moonless Night. So, it's Crown Guard check-in o'clock.
And the royal bedtime.
Yeah. Bait is with Ez and Zim and Hat are on the bed.
Yeah. And we have Ezran holding a wedding invitation and being a little bit unsure what to do, whether he should go to the wedding or not. And they have a talk about it. Sorin suggests, okay, Ezran, you should enjoy the wedding because it's good to, you know, be out of the castle and do something else. And he should give Amaya a little punch. Yeah. Not an actual punch.
Because you're like the king.
Yeah. And a hug. And that's really nice. And he should also not worry about the situation in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sorin will take care of that.
Yeah. Yeah, Sorin's very supportive to Ezran in this. And then when we see Sorin walk out of the room, you see him really like collect himself and his face really changes.
Yeah.
And when he's deciding to go and see Viren.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also a big moment for him because he didn't see Viren in such a long time.
Yeah.
And there was so much bad stuff happening.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's taking a lot of courage. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And he does really have to prepare himself because, as he says later, he doesn't want to be manipulated again. And it's a very, scary situation for him.
Exactly.
So Soren collects himself and goes to Viren's cell. And we see like a fly fluttering in a spider's web. It's kind of mirroring Viren's. Either Viren's situation in the cell or Soren going to the spider.
True. But also it could be the what we see later, Aros and Viren.
Yeah, true. That as well.
So,
yeah,
not true.
But it's very symbolic.
Yes.
And Viren says, "Soren, my son, is that you?" And Viren wants to talk to Soren, but Soren doesn't want to hear it. And he had actually, I think he has his back to him pretty much all of the time. Like he puts the food in and then he just turns around and he's not looking at Viren. And it's kind of hard to watch because for us, like as the viewer, you know, we've seen his journey on the other side with Claudia. And then we see this and it's like, you can understand both of them completely. Sure. But strangely, we're now on Viren's side. Yes. Like, I mean, we're totally on Soren's side, but we kind of like to see that, like, if Soren could see what we've seen, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Would be nice. But anyway, so it's a hard situation because there's a lot going on there. We see Soren take a couple of meals to him and there's like dark music and then Viren starts to talk to Soren and say like, why are you here, you know? And he tries to explain himself. I've done many things a father shouldn't do. I've been cruel to you. Set Claudia on a dark path and he's to blame. And he's really taking responsibility for all of this stuff, which he's never done before with Soren. And this moment where he says he can finally see it now and he can finally see Soren. And it's a really emotional moment. You've grown so much. You're so strong, so true to your heart. And you see Soren like cry a tear and then he explodes and like bangs on the bars of the cell and Soren's just very angry because he thinks he's just being manipulated again.
Yeah.
It's really dramatic and really, wow, it hits me really hard. very intense.
Yeah. But it's also good that Soren comes down and, you know, gives him dinner and food. And not some random guard.
Yeah.
So it's good that there's, you know, like Soren goes to him.
Yeah.
To see what's happening and is also interested in what happened to the two women.
Yeah. There is like a little bit of a door open.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's really good. But yeah, the fear of being manipulated or getting lied to again is high.
Yeah, especially when Viren says stuff that's like making Soren's like, wow, he's really apologizing. It like, is this real? You know? And obviously makes him worry then, no, this has to just be another manipulation because Viren's been cruel to him. His whole life.
Huh.
Hardcore. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and then a different guard starts bringing the food.
Yeah.
But then Viren wakes up another time to find Soren sitting there, actually. And he starts to talk to him again. I didn't come here looking for redemption or mercy. It's not your fault. It was never your fault. If you're not ready to accept my words now, I want you to have them for the future. When you might need them. And with this, I really teared up because it's like, Soren's completely not there yet. You know, he's not ready to forgive Viren. He's not ready to really listen properly. But like in the future, maybe when he is calmer, it's cool that he can think back on these, what Viren actually said.
Totally.
And
appreciate it.
Understand it and appreciate it for what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very important moments.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then the last scene is with Erebus again. There's a voice, maybe the spider.
Yeah.
And Rurin is, yeah, doesn't want to be enslaved by him again.
Yeah.
Wants to be free and never wants to be used again. And then we see the spider coming closer to the fly.
Yeah. Yeah. And
then the scene ends.
Oh, yeah, it's hard. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And in that situation, yeah, Viren is the fly.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe, yeah, in the other situation, Sorin feels like the fly.
Yeah.
Even though Viren the spider is not actually trying to eat him.
Yeah.
yeah, it's very symbolic, very very good stuff.
Yeah.
Really, well, very well agree. Written.
Yeah.
And the way, yeah, I mean, there's going to be more of this in the next chapter, so we can talk more about it then as well. But I feel like they're very, very good at doing this, like, not black and white, you know?
Yeah.
Viren's not evil. Like, yes, he did have good reasons for, like, that he thought were good enough for what he did. Yeah. But they do, yeah, they do this very good grey zone of being like, okay, people aren't just bad.
No. And we see this later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I read something today about the scary guy, a fully tattooed guy who is doing school teachings and stuff about mobbing.
Mm-hmm.
That you need also 16 hugs a day and stuff. And he said, no one is born evil. Did you ever see an evil baby? No, you didn't. So it's always the surrounding society, whatever. And you can change later on again.
Yeah.
That's a really important message.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, scary guy.
Okay, so... should we go to the Icy North? Or do we have anything else?
I would go to the Chosen 2 and the Chosen Pets.
Okay.
Actually.
The
not
chosen,
the Icy North.
The Icy North. The Chosen 2 and the Chosen Pets.
All
right.
Yes. So in the beginning, they are all in the guest room with a lot of spider webs everywhere. Yeah, actually, they should rest now because they have an important... meeting, I would say,
important
in the morning.
Task, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little appointment with a big behemoth.
Yes, exactly. And they don't know how it looks like and where it is. They don't know nothing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But we see the behemoth in the beginning, actually. In the first scene of the chapter, we see it in the background.
Yeah, very pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way.
Yeah.
Cosmo fluffs one of their pillows and reminds them of their task, basically.
Yeah.
And also reminding the viewer of their task. So they have to track the behemoth into a deadly ice storm, and Astrid adds, fighting it without getting crushed to death or eaten.
Yeah.
Sneasel sneezes.
Yeah.
And hides.
I wrote the same thing.
And so Rayla closes the door after them and is like, oh, are we sneaking out now or in the morning? but Callum's still up for it. I would save that for a jelly tart, what he says. But the warrior and the mage shall pierce the heart of the beast and melt the threat forever. And Callum thinks they can do it.
Yeah, he's really confident.
Yeah, and they might not be the chosen two, but he thinks they can still do it.
Yeah, exactly. And, they can defeat the monster which terrorized the elves for generations and can return the starlight to them.
Yeah.
And he's also asking himself, or was it Rayla? I don't know. Is this behemoth really a monster, or is it just a silly prophecy and not even real or something else?
Yeah.
So, we see Stella... trying to hide the book of Callum in the next scene. And luckily, Callum is faster and captures the book.
Yeah, how has that not happened already?
Yeah.
She's the best.
But Stella is really disappointed then afterwards.
Yeah, the look she gives him is very good.
I think she also sits down and, you know, crosses her arms.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, that was mine.
And he's like, okay, maybe there is a spell for it. You know, I could melt, how's it called, Finnegan's spell?
Yeah, he countered Finnegan's blood freezing spell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So maybe it's also possible to melt the ice outside of someone's blood.
Yeah, with Terminus ad glacium.
Which roughly translates to end the ice. And it's also, it looks nice. It's // swirly dash.
Which I think we hear about 6 times.
Yes.
At least.
And he tries it on some icicles hanging above the window, but they just fall down and almost pierce Stella. Yeah, Stella flees and goes to Rilla, and yeah, they go to sleep because what should they do?
Yeah.
And
they have to prepare for the morning, for the morning.
And there's a cute scene with Rilla and Stella where she sings a lullaby.
Yeah.
It's really nice. In the morning, they wake up. Stella still hugging Sneasels.
Oh, it's so cute. I've written cute. Inception Sneasels, because it's like Sneasels, Stella, and then Rayla. And the camera pans out as well, so you see one at a time.
Really cute. And we see Callum in the background, and he didn't sleep much or at all. But he figured something out.
Hooray!
Yeah, he... he
pushes in a comically large block of ice.
Yeah. And then he tries to get blades from Rayla.
And almost cuts his fingers off.
But then he does the carvings.
Mm-hmm. // swirly dash.
Exactly. And says the spell. And we see a lot of water coming down instead of the ice.
Hooray!
Yay!
So they have a plan.
Yes.
So it seems like the warrior has to do the carving.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the warrior being Rayla.
Yeah.
And off they go.
Yes.
The behemoth we see better now has pink eyes, big antlers, and a blue glow on its chest. And the first thing that happens is it roars and almost crushes them. And I'm totally getting Zelda Quest vibes from this. In Breath of the Wild, there's this one, I think it's called the Divine Beast Daruta, like I can put a link, and it's a similar task, like you have to climb up its legs, and you have to like shoot bits of it and stuff, like instead she has to get to the, you know, the heart, but it's like very similar, and with lightning, and it's, yeah, it was totally giving me Zelda vibes.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Okay, so, Rayla's already climbing up, and we've got a couple of spells here. So the first spell is Fulminus Ruina, which is like a lightning bolt.
Yeah, it translates to fallen lightning.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Callum's completely supporting Rayla with these spells while she's climbing up.
Yeah.
And then we get Ventum Tempestus.
Stormy wind.
Which smashes the ice that's about to fall on Rayla. She gets to the heart. But the behemoth sees her and tries to shake her off, and she sees that the heart is not a heart, and then she realizes what the behemoth is, or who the behemoth is.
Yeah.
But she gets flung off, and Callum catches her with Lavare Ventum.
Windlift.
Which is very much like this wind cushion that airbenders do sometimes. In Avatar.
True.
For catching people. Yeah.
Also, when Rayla was climbing the beast /pet, it reminded me of Legolas or Gimli in The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
When they climbed the big elephants or the
olifants
or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're back at the bottom, and And Rayla tells Callum that it's not a threat, it's a pet.
Yeah.
That I don't know if the pet gets gendered, but I'm going for she, that she's sad and lonely. And Callum's not sure, but Rayla's like, trust me, I know that in my heart this is the truth. And Callum's like, okay. So Rayla goes and talks to the pet and says, I know you're in pain, and then starts to sing her the lullaby. And we get a lot more of the words from the lullaby, and I can also just read that out. Though the sky is dark tonight, I still shine for you, my dear. The moon is more than just her light. I am near, my love is here. Though you feel so much alone, oh, my darling, do not fear. Hold to what you've always known. I am near, my love is here. Though my face cannot be seen, the answer in your heart is clear. I am the moon, your silver queen. I am near, my love is here. And at the point that she says, sings silver queen, the eyes of the behemoth also change color.
Yeah, to yellow. Turn
yellow.
Yeah. And now sing, please. Yeah, the eye turning is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, huh?
Okay. Yeah, like ping. Oh yeah. Yeah, it's lovely, like the lullaby. But I also knew, I don't know if you had this as well, I knew when she sung it to Stella, I was like, this is going to be relevant for something. Like it was, I definitely had a feeling. The first time I watched it as well,
okay.
Being like, okay, this is going to be relevant for something.
Okay. Yeah, good catch.
Yeah. yeah, and then it comes and it's really lovely and it really helps, and Esmeray calms down.
Yeah, that's, and... so it's not rage, but grief and loneliness. because she misses her, I would say, mistress, because it's not a master, it's a mistress.
Or her companion,
yes.
I would say.
Okay, better.
Her life companion.
Archdragon Luna Tenebris.
Yeah.
And Rayla fixes the broken heart thing.
Yeah.
With a moon opal, which Stella had in her... inventory.
In her portal, yeah. Well done, Stella. Stella, yeah. Saves the day again.
Again. Which she got from Umbatoa, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the quest.
Yeah.
In the caves.
Yeah, and then the prophecy is a little bit... it's fulfilled. It's not a little bit, but fully fulfilled. Because kindness pierced her heart and melted the thread.
Yeah. Oh, but it's so lovely. It's so cute. I wanted to say about the moon opal, because it totally fits to the song that Rayla was singing as well.
True.
With the moon, and yeah. Luna Tenebris was
the moon dragon.
Yeah. Moon arch dragon, I would say. Yeah.
Luna is actually Latin for moon.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's all very, very fitting. And then the fact that she's like, even when you can't see my face and whatever, I'm still here. Now she has moon magic in her, like, locket or collar or whatever it is, and has it and carries it with her, like, grief. And it's very, like, I love that image as well of, like, grief being, like, this storm that you're just kind of, like, tromping through, and sometimes you just can't get out of it by yourself.
Yeah.
You need someone to come and give you something to connect you back to that person that you've lost or whatever. Like, I really love that, that they've kind of made grief into this storm. And yeah.
Also a little bit mentioning the title of the chapter.
Yeah.
The grief is stronger on moonless nights.
Yeah.
So because there is no moon, then of course she misses her companion the most.
Yeah.
Totally understandable.
No.
Yeah. But afterwards, it's a little bit like, okay, now I'm done. Okay, I'm going away. Tschüss.
Yeah, bye. Have a nice life.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life, Esmeray. Like, it would have been nice if Esmeray had become their companions then. Like, she could have been their pet.
Yeah.
Like, they have space for more pets in their lives.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think of that, but now you said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe, yeah.
Yeah, she has other things to do.
Yeah, it's a big world, yeah. You know? Like, and other people that she's not seen since Luna Tenebris died, which is a long time ago.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they brought up the animation again from when we'd seen the death of Luna Tenebris before. So they just had that animation there of when Luna Tenebris died and disappeared with this like red moon.
Yeah.
And it's interesting then because we then know Esmeralda, we see her in the picture.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
And I didn't go back and check, but I'm pretty sure that was there when they originally did that sequence. Because they did think all this stuff through before.
Yeah.
But it's nice then to be shown these things again and be like, look, she was there the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. But who was not there? Sneasels. Yeah, Sneasels was missing during the big quest.
True. Where was Sneasels the whole time?
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Just sleeping and sneezing.
I mean, Sneasels is still a baby. Maybe Sneasels got to stay in the tower for the quest.
Okay.
Don't know. So Rayla's kindness melted the threat, and they get given the Corona of the Heavens. Woo woo woo. And they have to ascend to the zenith to witness the moonless night.
Yeah.
And everybody's happy. Stella's wearing the crown. I don't know if you noticed when they were
on
their way up.
Ah, okay, nice.
She had it on her head.
Huh.
And the elder says now that he hasn't seen the sky since he was a child. And yeah, it opens up and then the symbols on their blinds start to glow. And did you notice as well? So he has a symbol and it glowed, but the other ones didn't have symbols and they got symbols.
No, I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Ah.
So I was wondering if it's like he already had a symbol on his because he'd already seen it.
Yeah.
And that had already happened.
Yeah.
But the ones that had never seen the star or had the starlight, they got their symbol then.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
It's also good that now you know you can remove your blindfold, you know?
Yeah.
Ah, okay, there's something glowing. Okay, now I'm safe to remove it, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Like a little bing.
Yeah.
Now open your eyes.
Yes. But going back to the when they got adorned with the heavens, it was also nice for the elder to have complete silence again.
Yeah, and not have this storm going on the whole time.
Yes, and that Callum knew that this was the reward.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Rayla wouldn't have done it if she knew.
Mm-hmm.
So it was also nice that Callum didn't say anything.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, let's do this quest. Let's help them. And then that's it.
Yeah.
But actually, it was for something else.
Yeah. A win-win. Win.
Yeah. And she's really happy about it.
She's really happy. Yeah. And he's right. She probably would have been like, no, Callum, we don't have to do this. You know, it's not a priority.
No.
But they did. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
So she, now has the moon opals for bringing her, like, her parents back.
Yeah, exactly.
And Runan. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we see Astrid and Cosmo seeing each other for the first time.
Oh, that's really cute. Yeah.
That's really nice. And then actually Cosmo sees more than her. He sees everything because he becomes time blind.
Yeah.
Which is also something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what the other elves did, but did they see when he...
When he was, like, levitating.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They all took their masks off at the same time, and they were all having moments like Cosmo and Astrid. And then that happened, and they're all just standing.
Oh, okay.
Standing watching, yeah.
Okay. In the storm mend.
Yeah. probably being like, damn.
Why not me?
Yeah, why? Or maybe they're just happy. Yeah. I don't know. Because it's quite a lot to be time blind. Must change your whole life.
Yeah, totally. In an instant.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Astrid and says she shines the brightest and her star was never hidden just because others couldn't see it. So really nice words to his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And goes to Rayla and says to her that she's the daughter of the moon. And with her wondrous heart and a moment of mercy, there was a drop of empathy sent ripples out into the ocean of time. The dragon egg.
Yeah.
That was really nice. And then he goes to Callum and just says, "Darkness."
Callum's waiting for some compliment. It's like, "Darkness." Uh-oh. And then faints. It's a lot. Yeah. Wow.
But it's also good that he doesn't see everything instantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that would be too much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you go to a person and then you see what the person contains or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's getting it, like, revelation by, piece by piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting it together. Yeah. It was cool to see that development. So, yeah, that happens. And then it cuts to the scene with Viren and the spider eating the fly. And it's, like, very, like, those two moments are definitely, like, joined in the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy stuff. So,
lastly, we see Rayla speaking to her parents and Hunan.
Ah, true. Yeah.
And they should wait a little bit longer because she's not finished with her quest. Callum hears it and is okay. Yeah, let's get out of the room and let her have her moment.
Yeah.
But then he goes, I'm not sure if it's in this chapter, I think he goes to the Zenith again with the pearl.
Yeah, true. That's in that moment that I said with Arifus's voice. With the connection. Yeah, that's the connection. Yeah. That he's sitting looking at the pearl.
And, yeah, being unsure what to do and what the darkness means. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
That's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
He's full of darkness. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, Callum.
Yeah. And alone because Rayla is with her parents and
whatnot. Yeah. All right. Okay, so short jelly tarts?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we're not the chosen two, but what if we're still an important two, a useful two, a definitely at least above average two?
Then you had a knock-knock, a ground guard check-in the clock. Already, and the comically large block of ice. And do you have anything else? Because I have something.
I have. We're gonna fulfill the prophecy. Okay. As soon as I find a pair of dry socks.
Yeah. Same. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Okay. The credits.
So we are on the same level, joke wise.
Yeah.
That's good.
Always writing the same stuff. Yeah, there's also not so many jelly tarts,
yeah.
I feel like, yeah. as in the first seasons, but maybe that's...
It's getting darker.
Yeah. So, credits.
We see Raria and a mage, fully dressed as such, and it looks a little bit like Amaya and Gandalf.
Yeah. It's. I'm pretty sure it's referencing something that we don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, when it's that specific...
Yeah.
Or
Gandalf and some other person out of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, maybe it's supposed to be Gandalf. Gandalf and Aragorn or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure there's an exact pose that they took and they redrew it like that.
Yeah.
So, but we didn't find it. We didn't do the homework. Sorry, guys. Yeah. then we see the wedding invitation with the crimson orchid.
Then we see Luna Tenebris sleeping next to Esmeray.
Then we see Viren holding baby Sorin,
mm-hmm.
looking very lovingly.
Then a burning letter, which is foreshadowing, I would say.
Mm-hmm. For the next chapter, for sure. Then we see Stella on a pile of her stuff. So we have Finnegan's keys. It's the three keys from Finnegan's office door. And there's also a coin from Scumpot and the moon opal and a book and two scrolls. Yeah. There may have been more, but that's what I saw on the pile.
I just wrote down bored things.
Yeah. A hoard.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the title, Moonless Night,
mm-hmm.
which we already talked about, that grief is the strongest on the moonless nights.
Yeah.
And I wrote for overarching themes that love is there even when you can't see it. Like that's the same with the title. And grief. Yeah, wow. And that's relevant also to Viren.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though he never showed it to Sorin, he did still love him. Yeah. Like, but yeah.
Which we also see in the next chapter.
Yes.
I wrote down more to the title. So also, maybe it's a little bit too much, but Moonless for Rayla.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a moon elf or whatever. And her parents are not there. So, you know, it's also a moonless night.
Yeah, she also, she has her grief as well.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, then let's move on to chapter 6. Moment of Truth. So we have Viren writing his letter to Sorin. The confession of a dark mage and of a failed father.
Yeah.
And we learn about Lyssa and why she left.
Mm-hmm.
And that Viren is looking for unusual, or that they tried all the unusual cures for Sorin's breathing problems.
Yeah.
But he couldn't breathe properly. He was gasping and wheezing, and then turns to a creative solution, and then was like, let's call it what it is, dark magic.
Yeah.
It's like finally coming to terms with like, it's not just a creative solution. It is dark magic.
Yeah.
He needs Kapar's staff, and Kapar was Viren's
mentor,
yeah. And the last High Mage of Catullus.
Oh.
And we hear about King Atticus
for
the first time. King Atticus is the king before Harrow,
who
is measured and wise. And Viren goes to visit Kapar in the puzzle house, I guess, and asks for the staff, and explains Sorin's situation, and also has like Sorin's toy dragon on the table.
Actually, it's in the room of Viren.
Ah, is it? Okay, yeah. They go to the puzzle house later.
Yeah, in the first scene, it's Kapar coming to Viren.
Ah, that was it. Yeah. Okay, sorry. But Kapar says no.
No.
He's not unmoved by the situation, but dark magic is a no. And Viren says a child will die. And Kapar just says yes.
Yeah.
And Viren's left sobbing in the room.
It's understandable from both points of views.
Yeah.
Kapar knows what dark magic can do.
Mm-hmm.
And Viren is obviously sad about his dying child.
Yeah. He's heartbroken because he's just stuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's struggling with his dilemma, and then sees Prince Harrow, who's also struggling with a dilemma. And it's only a year since Callum's father died, but Harrow's in love with Sarai, who's a devoted mom to Callum. And Harrow is just worried because he thinks he's going to overcomplicate her life by asking her. Viren's very supportive and says to do what he must, because if it's love, then nothing else matters. Mm. Harrow says that that's good advice, and then Viren's like, that is good advice. Love is the only thing that matters. That means that he can do anything for love.
Yeah.
Which means going and trying to take in the staff again.
Yeah. Which he does. He goes to the puzzle house, the home of Kapar, and there's only an old frail man, which he can overrun.
Yeah.
Easily.
Because he doesn't have magic.
Exactly. Goes to the chimney and takes the staff.
Dun dun dun.
Yes. And then we have another scene where Kappar is saying, okay, I could just easily go to King Atticus and snitch on you. And then Rurin is doing the first dark magic.
Yeah.
By turning him into a coin.
Oh dear. Yeah, you really shouldn't have threatened me.
Yes.
He says.
Yeah.
And it happens. And we see his dark face for the first time.
Yeah. I don't know if he had a dark face before. Probably not, because he didn't do any dark magic before.
It seems to have been the first.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also not sure if he's he knows how he looks like now.
Yeah, until he goes home.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he goes home and then Lyssa is afraid of him.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if he then recognizes mm-hmm. how he looks like. Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, but he says that then she says to him that he's turned into a monster and that he realizes that he has become a monster. And not just because of his looks, but because of what the path he's chosen, basically. Yeah. But yeah.
And he not only needs a few ingredients and one is the tears of Lyssa.
Which he forces out of her. Oh, yeah. That's hardcore, eh?
Reminded me a little bit of Severus Snape.
Oh, yeah. But that
Harry
wasn't...
Potter.
Yeah, that wasn't forced, but yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, hardcore. So the other ingredients were the blood of a wind elk's antlers,
mm-hmm.
the tears, and the staff.
Yeah.
So the spell works and the family's shattered forever.
Yeah.
And then he has to make his most terrible confession. Like, if that's all not terrible enough, was that he blamed Sauron and punished him forevermore for what he decided to do. And it's so hard to watch. Like, I definitely, like, I've been thinking a lot about this, and it's like also being a parent now, and you know it also now from having little kids in your life and stuff, and you see this stuff happening, and then you automatically think of the little kids you know and how, like, it would be for them, and it's like extra heartbreaking.
Yeah, totally.
It's like,
totally.
I totally put, like, yeah.
Daddy, can you play with me? No, I have to work. Bye.
Door slams in your face. Oh,
yeah, that's
really, like, wow. It definitely hits me in a different way
than
it would have done before.
Yeah. Also, Claudia is also crushed, obviously.
Yeah.
Because her mother is gone.
Yeah. And she doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
And she's still also a little child and hardcore. And we know from before that I think they talked about when Lyssa left before, and that I think Claudia wanted to stay with Viren, or was it that Sauron wanted to stay with Viren and then Claudia stayed with Viren because Sauron wanted to? I think there was something like one of them stayed because the other one did and stuff as well. But
I can't remember.
And the kids didn't want to be apart then, basically, as well.
Would there be a chance of Lyssa having one or two?
Yeah, it was the kids' choice.
Ah, okay.
And because one of them was set on staying with Viren, they both stayed with Viren.
Bad choice.
Could have been different, yeah. Could have been different, but wow. Hard stuff.
Totally.
Heavy stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he's very, very sorry about it, you know? Yeah. And as it feels like as he's writing the letter, he's really realizing this stuff as well. Like, I feel like the letter's his process of going through this stuff that he's like, that he'd shut a door on years ago. And then he wants to give the letter to Sauron,
mm-hmm.
and he gets a soldier to tell him to come. And then he decides to not give him the letter. And for me, it completely echoes what we're about to learn, like from Cosmo and Astrid, that truths are heavy things and you have to decide why you're giving someone that truth.
Yeah.
And it seems like he, you know, he didn't hear the advice that we heard, but in his heart, he feels like, okay, is this truth going to hurt or help Sorin? Yeah. And actually, it helps Viren more than it would Sorin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice crossover.
It's a very nice crossover. I like the fact in both these chapters, actually,
that that's true.
Completely connected with what's going on in the other place. So, yeah.
Yeah, heavy stuff.
Really heavy stuff.
A little bit of therapy for Viren.
Totally.
And I want to look up something I had in my mind. If you want to give someone a message, it should be true and I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone knows, it's a old philosophical thing, I guess. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the message should be true and something else and something else.
Okay.
I guess.
Not just to share the truth because it's the truth, but like...
Yeah, it should be maybe also interesting or something. So if you don't have a message for me that is blah, 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 then you don't have to say it to me.
Yeah.
Tell me, you know. But I can't remember.
Yeah. Any ideas, people? Just send us some comments, yeah?
Yeah.
We're here. we can talk about that more at the end of the episode once we've gone through what happens in the Icy North. Because as we know, this episode is all about truth and not just Viren's truth. Yeah, and I have thoughts and big feelings about all of it.
Yeah.
So let's continue. So we're in the Icy North, it's sunrise, and Callum was so anxious that he couldn't sleep. I think he slept an hour, he said, or something.
Again, so the second night in a row.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Two nights in a row, no sleep. Rayla tries to cheer him up with the corona.
Do you not want to feel like a princess? Maybe.
And you're a good person, Callum, maybe the goodest.
Yeah.
And they failed to destroy the pearl, taking it across the world for nothing. But did they take it across the world for nothing?
Mm-hmm.
They go to the Elder and they ask the Star-Touched Elves to take care of the pearl for them because they've already taken it half, like, across the world. Mm. So they might as well leave it there if it's safe. And then it switches to, like, black and white, which is interesting. And Cosmo sees the possibility of telling the truth that it's not the real pearl, which he only realizes when he touches it.
Oh.
So we go through that possibility.
Mm-hmm. But did you see that only Cosmo is in color?
And yes.
Everything? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Cosmo's in color experiencing this, kind of. And Cosmo, in this reality, this possible reality, comes to see Callum and tells him that dark magic creates a corrupted black hole, and that's how Aravos can control him. Fill the hole with light again, and then it's fixed. But he needs courage and strength.
Yeah. And Callum is so devastated from learning the truth of the orb not being the real orb, but a giant piece of candy, that he is too weak and doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And just wants psych. To
give
and,
up.
Yeah.
And Astrid tells Cosmo that he broke Callum's spirit.
Yeah.
The truth is everything. But before you give it to another, ask yourself, are you giving them clarity, light, and purpose? Or are you shifting a burden to someone who needs all their strength?
Exactly.
Which is very interesting how that comes out again later.
Yeah.
So we go back to the current reality.
Mm-hmm.
Where
timeline.
The current timeline, where Cosmo has realized that in that split second and says, he says, the truth is, The truth is complicated. And the Elder takes over, not knowing, obviously, what Cosmo's seen, and says that they will keep it safe.
Yeah.
And then Cosmo is with Callum, telling him about the fact he needs courage and strength, and that he can get rid of the darkness. And this time, Callum can do it.
Yeah.
Callum is
confident,
and strong, and is ready. He can do the ceremony, but if he ever does dark magic again, the darkness and corruption will overwhelm him.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that this is a one-time fix.
Yeah. Called the Star Truth Ritual.
There we go. The Star Truth Ritual. And it's with Venom from the Star Weavers. Star Weaver spiders.
Yeah. And then fly to the heaven, and then search for the truth, and then let it shine, and... ta-da, easy.
Yeah. Check, check, check.
Yeah. So, but there's a little problem because they didn't get any venom. So Callum has to get a bite.
Yeah.
And be Spider-Man.
Yeah, true. Starweaver Spider-Man. Yeah, and then at this point, we realized when we were rewatching it, so they're in this the zenith, it's zenith, called, isn't it? And there's 8 columns, and I was looking at it and realized that every column has a staff, like Viren's staff,
mm-hmm.
like one of these magical staffs. But the stone is a different color in mm-hmm. each one, and there's one column that where the staff is missing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were thinking about it, and we're like, okay, this must be where Viren got his staff from. And we know from the past that the humans got given the staff from one of the great ones. So we kind of know it already that it's from Aravos. Yeah. So Aravos must have stolen the staff at some point or gotten it at some point from here, from this room. And it's crazy. It's like, this is where
it all started.
All of the dark magic shit started.
Yeah. Totally crazy.
Mental. So,
and they probably don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they only see this room once in a lifetime, maybe.
Yeah.
And not even then, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, most of them don't know. And
for a generation, they've just been blindfolded the whole time as well, exactly. And not seen it at all.
Yeah.
And when they're there, their focus is looking at the stars, not looking at the
pillars.
The pillars around them and stuff. So, really crazy stuff. So we were really excited to find this Easter egg. And then we did a little bit of, we looked at the wiki and it's written there, you know, like it is in the wiki that's the case. But yeah, it's one of these things that just in this one image where I was like, huh, that looks like the staff, there's a hole for one, then it's missing. And being like, what? All this information portrayed in this tiny moment.
Yeah, totally. Like,
that you only see from one angle in one moment of the whole of the whole scene.
True.
Yeah. So that was exciting. It's lovely to share that with you folks. if you find that interesting.
Actually, not everything is in the wiki.
Yeah.
The bit with Aravos must have stolen it.
That's ours.
That's our theory. Of course, true. And but the other thing about the stuff being Viren stuff or dark magic, so CR's stuff in the first one.
Ziad, mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the first age.
Yeah.
And then some other high mages and then Kappar and then Viren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's in the wiki.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is because they put it so in your face. And in the, you know, we're going back from the Icy North to Viren, trying to get the staff from Kappar, and to the Icy North, and to Viren with the staff. And then it shows, and then it's like the staff. Look at all those staffs. And look, there's one missing. Oh my God. It's very, like, they're obviously putting it there so that you figure it out. Like, you're not going to figure it out on the first watch.
No.
Like, I didn't see it the first time either. But yeah, the second watch, looking at it and being like, hold on, there's something going on here. It's like, it's very exciting and it's very good series making. I feel like that you can really go back through and learn a lot more on a second watch or a third watch. Yeah, so exciting stuff. We feel very proud to have discovered this by ourselves. Nice that it's like confirmed a little bit by the wiki.
Yeah.
But yeah, it got me thinking about all sorts of things, like like back to when we saw Ziyad in the first place, we had this thing of being like, yeah, but he didn't, he had this other stuff because it's got like skulls and stuff and sticks, and realizing no, actually, like they're passing it on constantly to the next mage, or it's getting stolen from mages or whatever. And that they're hanging stuff on it. Like, Claudia also decorates her staffs in, like, the two she's had.
So every mage has their own outfit for the staff.
Yeah, and their own, like, I don't know, ingredients for dark magic spells that they just, like, hang on there or whatever. Yeah, fascinating.
So we probably missed a lot of other hidden things.
There's so much,
In plain sight.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, it's right there. And the columns, the seven other staffs that are there have all different colours.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make sense to me because, not exactly, because if they're all primal stones, like, there must be something else going on as well. Because I think there's only six primal sources, and that means that there were eight staffs.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, why were they, like, why eight is my question a little bit.
and only seven books and blah, blah, blah. And also the colors, do they have a deeper meaning?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. So more questions, if anyone can, if anyone has any more thoughts, let us know.
Yeah.
Also the colors, it was interesting when we were looking at them because there were definitely two blue ones. And we thought, like, okay, that's like a slightly lighter blue. So maybe it's answered by the fact that maybe two of the colors are doubled or something. Mm, that could also be the case. But why?
Yeah. Like, or we didn't, because we didn't see every column. And so we have one where the stuff is missing, yes. Mm-hmm. But another one we didn't see.
Yeah.
So maybe there's also missing stuff because it's just seven stuffs in total.
And that because there's another one somewhere.
Primary sources.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. And that made me think of something else now, because the staff that Viren has is like purple. And is it because it's like corrupted with dark magic? Or like, why is it purple?
Hmm.
Maybe it's actually another primal stone.
Yeah.
Which is, but then...
also the, maybe it's just grief, you know, like the, like Esmeray. Also having purple eyes.
Ah.
Or another theory,
mm-hmm.
which I just had.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, we have dark magic and we have light magic.
Hmm.
You know?
So a dark magic one and a light magic one.
Yes.
There was a white one, wasn't there?
Yeah, but then it's not a white one, obviously.
Like the white one.
So we have six staffs hanging there.
Mm-hmm.
For the primal
mm-hmm.
Sources. And then we have two. One for dark magic and one for light magic.
Interesting.
Maybe. Yeah, okay, you're right. Maybe the white one is the light magic. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. We don't know. Anyway, we're just spitballing here. Just ideas. Okay, sorry. We got very excited about that. Let's move on.
Yeah.
So Astrid tells him he has to get bitten by a spider. And the tower opens. Callum gets bitten. He also gets blindfolded and now has to fly as high as he can.
Mm-hmm.
The closer he gets to the stars, the stronger the star magic is, the connection is.
But he only sees darkness and then falls down, losing his feathers or his wings.
Mm-hmm.
And being unsure because what was happening there? Then he just couldn't see it and thought of being infused with darkness again, right?
Yeah, he just like seemed to be overwhelmed.
Yes.
And then he tried to take a breath. I wondered if the air was just really thin up there as well.
Yeah,
and that totally. He kind of like half fainted.
Mm.
Or it was just like kind of like giving up on it, just being like, I'm lost.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
And then he sees a little sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sparkle gets bigger and he gets his wings back, flies up. And he sees his star.
Yeah.
And his star is Rayla.
Yeah, his star formation, maybe?
It's constellation, yeah.
Because it's more than one,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah. And that's the one truth for him.
The one truth.
That's Raina.
So romantic.
Yes. And then, he flies down and Raina's sitting there with the others. And he just says, I found my one truth. And she just hugs him without knowing what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a really cute moment.
Yeah, she's just happy for him.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't want to know, actually. Yeah, of course, she wants to know, but it doesn't matter in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then Cosmo tells Astrid about the giant candy. Because in the other timeline, he told her, but yeah, in the current, not yet. And she repeats her words from before.
He repeats her words. He gives her wisdom.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Oh, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Yes. That's really nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
So we have a three time in this episode.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very, very interesting. Yeah. And I found a parallel in there from Avatar, as usual. I felt like it was like when Aang is trying to open his chakras.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the opposite, because Aang couldn't open his chakra because of Katara, because he couldn't let go of his love for her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the opposite here, because, yeah, to open himself back up and to heal himself, he needs Rayla's love, or like,
he
finds his love for Rayla, and that solves it.
Good
and
find.
It's interesting.
Yes,
that is basically the opposite.
Yeah.
So Callum is awake, wondering about the moment that Rayla came back,
mm-hmm.
and that he was confused, and Rayla apologizes about it, and he's like, no, don't be sorry. Let's just try it again. And he's ready now. And you have to say the same thing you said. Can you remember what it was? Yes. And she goes out and comes back in. And what's the very important thing that she says?
Hey.
And then they kiss and tell each other they love each other. Yeah. And it's so cute. And the pets are so happy.
Clapping and sneezing.
Yeah.
Hooray. Yeah, really cute. Really lovely.
Yeah, very nice. End to the episode.
Yeah.
So that's that. Jelly tarts?
None.
Yeah, me neither. It was pretty heavy. episode. Then we'll do the credits and we can talk about the title and the meaning.
Yeah,
definitely have more to say. So, Yana.
Okay, first we have Falling Callum and Rayla, I would say.
Which is also the reverse of the Storm Spire. You remember, Rayla's falling,
mm-hmm.
and then Callum jumps after her.
Huh.
To save her, and he's above and she's below, and then this is like the reverse of that.
Yeah. But also why he was falling and losing his feathers and then she grabs him, was this the meaning?
Yeah, that like his love,
star.
His love, yeah. Or their love saved him.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
I guess. The next one, a different staff with the runes from the puzzle house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Harrow giving Sarai a rose.
And then we see a beardy aged Viren looking at a flower. And it looks like the lilies that get enchanted for the Moonshadow Elves when they do the assassin thing.
Ah, yeah. I was thinking about the flower which Harrow had in his hand when they talked about Sarai.
Yeah.
And
true. Yeah, no, that's probably it.
And but he's but about it was yellow, and in the picture it's white, so maybe it's just a dark black-white thing.
Maybe, yeah.
But maybe it's also the one you said. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. Yeah, looking at it, thinking about that conversation with Harrow, maybe.
The next one is a clawing spider, Star Weaver spider.
The next one is the Rayla constellation with her butterfly blades and everything. And I just put in my notes, is that how Callum sees Rayla, basically? It's this, like, beautiful constellation. Yeah.
That's it for the outros. Then for the title, Moment of Truth, I first have Candy.
Yeah.
Complicated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rayla.
Yeah.
And Candy again.
That's the moment.
That's the moment.
Yeah. And then the other moment is the moment of Viren not giving the letter to Sorin.
Totally.
That also another moment of truth. Yeah, the weight of the truth. That was all that this episode was about, basically. Yeah, and I was listening to another podcast. I'm lucky that in my paid job, I have time to do things like listen to podcasts, even when I can't, like, do other stuff. And I was listening to a new podcast that I found, and they did a nice interview with Aaron Ehas. And it was really, really lovely, and, like, I'm definitely going to listen to it more. I can't remember what it's called right now, but I'm going to do a link in the show notes. But you should definitely not listen to it unless you've seen all of season 6, because it's got spoilers. So we could put a spoiler warning on the link, so don't click on it, don't listen to it if you've not seen the whole thing. But it was really fascinating. Like, they had a really good conversation on it. It was really deep. Also about, like, this kind of philosophy, like trolley problems, you know, like how many people, like, you know what a trolley problem is?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
I thought about Harry Potter trolley with the witch, you know, but I know what you mean.
Different trolley problem. Yeah. So in case our listeners don't know, and I don't know if I can explain this in a good way off the top of my head, but a trolley problem is like, you're on a trolley or a tram, you know, and there's someone on the tracks, and it's like a decision-making thing of, like, do you run the person over? To, like, you have the choice between one track which has, like, one person on it and another track that has, like, 10 people on it. And how do you make that decision? Do you save that one person but decide to kill 10? Or do you kill 10 to save that one person? Like, it's that kind of thing. And anyway, they had a really good discussion about it and about this, about this thing of, like, Viren decided to go down that really dark path because he decided that his son's life was worth it, you know? Like, it was worth putting Kapar in a coin. It was worth that other animal's life that he took. It was worth forcing a tear out of his partner, you know? And that's just the start of all the things he decides to do for love, you know? And I found that really fascinating, and it's well worth listening to. And it's just my mind, like, I'm thinking about it a lot right now. And
hello there, Kaylee here doing the editing. In this next section, I say over and over, this is us. Please replace this in your head with The Last of Us. I was talking about mushroom zombies, not about a cuddly, tear-jerking family drama. Also worth watching, by the way. It gets a bit spoilery, so if you've not seen The Last of Us, skip the next 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Thanks.
I also listened to a different podcast the other evening while me and my wife were playing a computer game and listening to a podcast at the same time, as you do, about This Is Us.
Okay.
And have you seen This Is Us?
Not yet, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try not to spoil then, but there's a similar moment of deciding that one person is more important than the future of humanity, like, or not. And in that podcast by Gobbledygeek, it's very, very worth listening to, by the way, listeners. Gobbledygeek in general, they're great. And that specific one about This Is Us is very good. Like, it's a 2-hour discussion about it. Yeah, and it's just like, it feels like everything I'm listening to or like looking at is dealing with this topic at the moment. Like, what would you do for that? And like I said earlier, being a parent kind of puts different lens on it a little bit. And they mentioned in this podcast that the game, This Is Us, that they did like a survey, like when they were developing the game, because there's this choice in the game, basically, like of whether to save this kid or not. And they did a survey of the testers. All the testers who were parents all said that they would save the kid. And all the testers who weren't parents didn't save the kid.
Interesting.
And it's really fascinating then, this like psychology.
Is this the game or the movie with the series with the mushrooms?
Yeah.
Ah, then I loved
it. Then you have seen it. Yeah, okay.
I have seen it. Ah, I'm looking forward for the next season.
Yeah.
Which is coming out in April.
Hooray.
Yes.
Okay, then I can be a bit more specific and our listeners can turn it off if they don't want to be spoiled. But it's this moment with is she called Ellie? Like that she's the cure for humanity, you know? Yeah. And he decides to instead kill the people that are trying to get the cure out of her.
Yeah, totally.
And it's a very similar like
also scenario. I'm not sure if I'm spoiling it now super a lot.
What?
With the her lying at the end.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's
with,
it.
With him lying.
Him when lying?
He lies to her.
Ah, okay.
She doesn't know.
Okay.
Okay. So, that's that. But very deep stuff. And yeah, send us all your thoughts and
prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, people. I'm sure we can keep maybe talking about this topic in the next episodes because I'm sure it's going to be relevant.
Important stuff.
Exciting stuff. I'm really glad we've gotten back on with this recording and
back on track
on the with trolley the problem.
Train track.
Which track will we choose?
Actually, you are the you're the person at the
I'm the driver.
No, you're not the driver. You're the person who can decide which track the train is going. You know,
The person like on the track with the lever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like, because if you're on the train, you can't do anything.
True.
Yeah.
Ah, it's so crazy. It's gotten me all excited, this topic. Okay, so it's done about talking about today's episodes. We've been News from the Breach. Thanks for listening. Send us more comments. We love it. And we'll speak to you again next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.